Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Boy, oh boy, I think we're going to have some fun today on our show. The topic, feng shui that rocks the house to shake up the energy and get the life you want. How's that? That sounds like a good one to me. I'm excited. Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. As always, thank you for joining us today and every week on Wisdom Wednesdays. I'm excited to be here. I know our guest today is going to be a fun one. She's known as the fast-talking Texan. So we're going to have a lot going on this next hour. But first, I'm Kim Falcon. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. And certainly if there's anything I can do to support you in the way of readings, healings, or hypnosis, don't hesitate to reach out. I love the work I do. I love the people I work with. You can also connect with me on Meetup and across social media and on Facebook Live every Friday. Facebook Live, join me for Aloha Freedom Fridays at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific for conscious spiritual conversation, Q&A, and mini readings. So we have a fun time on Fridays. Every week it's a new topic. This Friday's topic, infidelity and your intuition. Oh, I'm sure I'm going to raise some eyebrows on that one. But nonetheless, it's an important conversation. We're going to have it, and join us on Friday. It'll be fun. You can also call us live at 202-570-7057. Or you can send through any questions that you might have for us today, either Mark, myself, or our guest on Feng Shui. Is there something that you want to bring into your life and your experience, and you want to know how you can do that in your home with Feng Shui? Today is the day to do it. We have a Feng Shui master. So I'm very excited about that. Every Wednesday, I'm also excited to join my co-host and partner in crime, Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector. Mark, how you doing up there?
Hi, Kim. Hi, Inspired listeners. I'm doing fantastic. Yes, this is going to be a fun and inspiring and educational show with Feng Shui that rocks the house. A very fun, interactive book. My wife and I actually went through and did some of the exercises, and going to have a couple questions for Denise when we bring her on here in just a few minutes. But like Kim said, this is Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in Seattle, Washington, the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I should say the cold Pacific Northwest. We actually have snow on the ground, which is very rare for us. But if you want to work with me, in the work that I'm doing, just go to marklanehart.com. You can internet search the Intuitive Prospector. Love to help you do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. If you want to catch me on Facebook Live and YouTube, I'm live every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays with Mark through Facebook Live and my YouTube channel. Your show is going to be, I think, a little bit more interesting this Friday, Kim, with that topic. That's going to definitely raise some eyebrows, I'm sure, but that's what we do all week. We got you covered on inspiration, education, guidance, knowledge. I start us off on Mondays. Kim and I come together on Wisdom Wednesdays for Inspired Living Radio, and then Kim finishes it up the week of inspiration for Aloha Freedom Fridays. So if you want to connect with us on our social media platforms, you can do that right now through our Facebook page, which is Inspired Living Radio. It's a closed community, so you'll have to ask to join the community. It is a growing international community. We love our Inspired listeners, and we do like to say that you are the inspired and the inspiration. You can also find us on Instagram and the handle for Instagram and our Twitter accounts is Inspired for Us. I was going to say Google Plus Communities page, but we just got notice that that is actually going to be coming down, Kim, that the Google Plus Communities platform in April will be no more. So we're just going to have the three social media sites moving forward. If you want to catch any of our encore shows, if you're not hanging out with us on the live show right now, you can go over to Home Times Radio Archives and catch all of our four seasons of Inspired Living Radio. You can also catch us on YouTube, marklanehart.com, SoundCloud, lovefirst.info, Podbean, and iTunes. And with every month, we have a positive affirmation. This one's very simple and to the point. Positive mind, positive life. That's our Inspired Living positive affirmation for the month of February. And if you want to call in the second half of the show, the number to call is 202-570-7057. And just one quick note, if you want to catch daily inspirations with me now, if you have an Amazon Alexa or an Amazon Echo Pod, you can just ask to open up Positive Living. That application will open up, and it's daily inspirations, guidance, and what I like to call spiritual awesomeness as we prospect for your own spiritual gold daily with affirmations that I now have streaming through Alexa. All right, Kim, back to you. Let's have a fun and feng shui kind of show.
Yes, yes, let's do so. So without further delay, a little bit about our guest today. She is known as the Fast Talking Texan. Denise Leota Dennis is less than 100 genuine feng shui masters in America. Wow, that's very interesting. Okay, she has studied with four noted feng shui masters from China, Malaysia, and Australia, including Grandmaster Yap Chang Hai, and belongs to his 400-year Wu Chang feng shui mastery lineage. She's a gifted educator and speaker, and she offers both high energy and rich content with a rapid-fire delivery that keeps audiences spellbound and wide-eyed at the edge of their seats. Okay, I think she's going to do a little bit of that today, too. She peppers up her talks with a quaint Southwestern humor, too. All right, that's good. Humor is a good thing. She's the author of six books, and her latest is Hollywood's Fatal Feng Shui, an in-depth examination of 10 celebrity homes with a tragic ending, or tragic story, history, excuse me. Oh, my goodness. But today, hopefully, we'll keep it a little bit on the upside here. No tragedies on this show, hopefully. Without further delay, welcome to the show, Denise. Thank you so much for being with us, and we are excited to talk through what we can do to rock our own home.
Welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of experience. That's a lot of different approaches and angles to feng shui, how it can be used, and just examining, I guess, even with your latest book on the importance of feng shui, huh? We look at celebrity homes that have a tragic history. I'll let you share something that I did right before our show. I was like reading through some of the information, and I ran up to my master bedroom and I moved the dressing mirror.
I could see my reflection in it.
What's that?
Mirrors in the bedroom can be part of your subject on Friday with infidelity. That's one of the indications of that, unfortunately.
I know. That's why I was kind of dabbling at that as the topic on Friday. But there's a lot of different things as it relates to the master bedroom, I guess, that, you know,
right,
can.
Right. It's one of the more important rooms when you're trying to rearrange things so that you can really capture the energy so that, you know, you can have the best of the best of the life that you want, whether that's, you know, focus on health or prosperity or great relationships or attracting a romantic relationship. But that bedroom is an important area.
Right. And as you noted in some of your written work is that, you know, it's one of the places we spend so much of our time and sacred time and sleep and that, you know, healing and rejuvenating and all of that stuff, that it certainly stands to reason that that space would be a very important one for us.
I've had people, this is so interesting, Kim, that you brought that up, because I've had people who have just moved their beds in a different direction. And, of course, this is what the feng shui that rocks the house is all about. It's about, you know, changing the direction of things and getting a different result. And I've had people just change, have amazing results just by one thing. There's other, lots of things you can do to shake up the energy and get, you know, different results. But that bed is so important because we're spending one-third of our lives in the bed. And the direction, changing the direction can change what happens, and pretty quickly.
Well, you know, and I have an interesting just story, but I'd love to get your perspective on this, and we'll delve into, you know, some of your book and just the foundational pieces are important for people to understand about feng shui. But I, it was so interesting because in our guest room in our old home, our bed, that the mirror was on a dresser, and that mirror faced the bed, so you could see yourself lying in the bed. And every time I slept in that guest room, I never felt comfortable. I didn't get a restful night's rest. Why is that? I mean, I understand when it comes to marriage, but why would that be?
Yeah, that's really a good question. My teacher explained that because we had the same question about that. And how he explained it is that, you know, we astral travel at night, and we have mm-hmm. that golden cord. And when we come back, and we're lining back up with our physical form, if we should glimpse ourselves in the mirror, then it frightens us, okay? And so it shakes up, it not in a good way, it shakes up the energy. It's disconcerting to our energy body once we get frightened by seeing our image in the mirror and we don't line up properly, so we don't rest well. We're not lining back up, so we're a little bit discombobbled for a couple of days. And so it's disconcerting to energy. It's particularly disconcerting to energy for children because they're, you know, how psychic they naturally are, sensitive, because they see on the other side of the veil so easily.
Mm.
And they get
Yeah, interesting, because I always, it was set up really nicely, but it's like I never felt really comfortable in that room.
Right.
And, you know, that, and then I'm reading your book, you know, as we're getting ready for the show, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there we go. Okay.
Right.
So.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, a perfect example of how it can disturb your sleep.
Yes, yes. So let's talk a little bit about what is feng shui and what is not feng shui.
Okay. Well, genuine feng shui, you know, is been around for thousands of years. And the ancient Chinese were, you know, we didn't know this for years because it was a closed society, had discovered certain things about energy. And lots of different, we call it Chinese metaphysics in general, but feng shui related to humanity in relationship to their home, their spaces. And so over time, because they were paying attention to this and documenting it, it came to address the areas that humans are interested in always improving or sustaining, and that's our health, our prosperity, and our relationships. So it doesn't matter if you live 6,000 years ago or now. That's pretty much our concerns. Now, when it came mm-hmm. over to the States, when it eventually got released, I call this when the Chinese gave it up. So the first thing they gave up, like in the 40s or so, was martial arts, because we were shocked and awe to see someone crack a stack of bricks with their hand. I mean, who knew that even mm-hmm. possible, right? Then acupuncture. Mm-hmm. But both of those have to do with the body. Well, finally, we got released information with energy and the home, the space, buildings, right? And so, but when it came over to the state, because it's a very complex study, now feng shui rocks the house is a simple system, which is why I like to introduce it. But when it came over to the States, it was introduced in a diluted, and so we call faux feng shui. And that unfortunately got popular because it came like fast food. You didn't have to mm-hmm. study, have to learn anything. You just, you know, and not that there's not some simple things you can do, because they are. But that's sort of how it came up. So what people think feng shui is the tchotchkes, I call them little tchotchkes, hanging from your bamboo flutes, hanging from your ceiling, and coin-choked frogs and crystals in the window. That's really not feng shui. That's just a commercialization. And it's kind of, you know, seductive to think that we would hang a crystal in our mirror in our window and we'd get results. But that's not really how feng shui works. It's a much bigger and richer and deeper practice than something so simplistic.
Yeah, that tends to happen sometimes, how with different practices it gets diluted. And certainly, you know, I feel like our culture in particular, you know, we want fast answers. We don't want to spend all the time,
right.
You know.
Right.
So I could see where that would be the case. Now, there's different ways or different styles of feng shui. It's not just like one be all end all.
Right.
Kind of approach. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, the style that came to be over to the United States that was the diluted form, there's even lots of names for that. But basically, we just clump it is to westernize feng shui down to the, you know, to the simple bones of it. Some people call it black hat set. That was a Tibetan monk that brought it over. Professor Lin Young brought over to America the simplistic style. So that's the westernized. And then the genuine feng shui, which is we call classical feng shui, is the one that's dating back 1,000 years. Even that school, that practice, has tons and tons of techniques and styles. And that's what makes it so rich and exciting and makes it a worth a lifetime study, because it's so interesting with the different formulas and techniques and so many things that you can do. And that's why I just keep writing books with things in it so people are aware of it. You can't all of them without some study, but some of it you can. And once you're convinced, just by doing a few simple things, which I'm sure we'll talk about today, we'll address it today, you'll get results. And then you're sort of convinced, well, hey, they had something going on. They really had something to offer in this modality, which they did, because it's energy. And now we know, look at what we know now with quantum physics. We know basically everything, including us, is just pure energy. Everything in our universe and us. We're just like stardust. We're energy, you know.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Now, hold that thought. Now we're moving into our first break here. So stay with us, listening audience. We'll be back in 2 minutes. And certainly use this time to call if you've got any questions about what you'd like to bring into your experience with feng shui.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Ohm Times Radio Network. We appreciate all of our Inspired listeners hanging out here for the next 60 minutes as we bring on our special guest today, Master Denise Laiota Dennis, talking about her book, Feng Shui That Rocks the House, Shake Up the Energy and Get the Life You Want. Welcome back, Denise. And I have a question as far as I was starting to read through the book and get an understanding of feng shui, and one of the reasons I love doing radio is I get to learn all sorts of amazing concepts and topics, and I get to meet amazing people like yourself. And the one thing that I noticed as a numerologist is in the feng shui cycles, as far as your guru or your magic life Gaia number, it goes through a number of 1 through 9, which is very much in line with numerology. I was just curious if the philosophies actually intertwine, because in numerology it's a 9-year cycle as well, and you go through the different years, like we're in the year of the three. I was just curious if they actually intertwine based on the numbers at all.
Well, it's not really related to numerology. It's the 8-mansion system, which is what the feng shui system in Feng Shui Rocks the House is a mansion system. And you're assigned a magic life gua number. It's spelled G-U-A or K-U-A, but either way, it's related to the bagua, which ba means 8. And they use the numbers 1 through 9 and all throughout feng shui, which sort of relates to numerology more in the flying stars as it cycles through time. But the 8-mansion system, still using the same numbers, except no one is a 5 life gua, because in the magic square 16 is center. So you're one through nine, but no 5, because all the other ones have directions. And feng shui, classical feng shui, is really all about the directions. And I know that sounds odd for some of your listeners who've read tons of books on feng shui and have probably not heard it described that way, but direction, rules, and classical feng shui, which makes it pretty easy, because you just can whip out your smartphone, find the direction to get your bed in or your desk or something like that, and then boom, you can then extract that great energy, because every home has some great energy. People might be extracting it or enhancing it, but it's there, and that's the whole point. Once you get that life gua number, now you know where to proceed from there, is to start putting it in action.
Yeah, very interesting. And, you know, another interesting concept about feng shui that I started to learn in my own journey is things in a particular place. And for those listeners out there that might be labeled as OCD, or you have to have something in a certain place, I was actually instructed that everything you're saying, Denise, everything is energy, and we feel comfortable with certain locations and directions of things. But for some of us, if that – let's say that chair is facing a certain direction, the sensitivity or our intuition or our alignment to energy, we may want to change the direction of the chair, or we may want to move something over. Some people would classify that as maybe being a little anal, or everything in a place and a place for everything. But one of my mentors taught me that it's actually alignment with energies, and sometimes we have comfortability and we have uncomfortability. And just curious on your thoughts on that when it comes to feng shui, as far as people feeling comfortable and uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's absolutely right on, Mark, because I give a lot of lectures, and one of my favorite subjects, of course, is this subject, is the 8-mansion system. But what I like to do is watch people enter the room. I'm always there available to visit people and whatever, but I like to see them enter the room, pick their chairs, and then angle them, either move the chair or angle themselves within the chair, so that they are facing something where they're comfortable. Well, it's still about energy. They're just trying, to me, they're trying to get in one of their good directions, because this is what the system is based on. You have good directions, you have directions that serve you, and some that you don't feel so comfortable in. So they'll sit in the chair, and then you see people do this. They won't move the chair, but they'll angle themselves. I mean, like the craziest angles you've ever seen. Or they'll physically move the chair until they feel comfortable, just exactly what you're describing.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so for our listening audience, if you're uncomfortable with a chair or a room, it's not you. It's the energy and your alignment to that energy. So like I said, it's something, you know, when I started to think in terms of energy and frequency and vibration and, you know, the spiritual path and metaphysics, this is something that I started to be more aware and pay attention to. And so for feng shui, it does really have a lot to do with direction and location, east, south, west, north. And
right.
Just for our listening audience, if you want to go just a little bit more into detail, talking about you called it the eight mansion systems, going just a little bit more in depth than that for our listening audience.
Yeah, I mean, some people have probably read some books similar to it. It's eight mansions. Some people call it eight house feng shui. Some people call it the east-west system, but it's all sort of the same thing. And it goes back to the Tang Dynasty. And based on your birthday and your gender, you're assigned a life gua number. I like to call it the magic life gua number. Now, once you have that information, you're going to be in what's called the east-west system, because you're going to be in, you'll be in two groups, the east group and the west group. So if your number comes to be a 1, 3, 4, or 9, you're in the east group. And if you're a 2, 6, 7, 8, you're in the west group. So there's four. I'm sorry, the total of eight life guas, so they're all relating to direction. Once you have that information and you know that, oh, you're a one life gua, then you know which directions to activate for what it is that you want. So let's say you just started a new business and you really need the money to start flowing in big time. You know, you've taken a risk, you've leased a space or whatever. You'll want to activate that number one best direction, which is in Chinese called Xing Qi, and it means the millionaire qi, life-giving breath, and that's the direction that you'll want to have your desk oriented to. If you have a door in addition to that, also that direction, oh, hallelujah, now you've got two good hits. And then if you can place your bed in that direction, now you've got three good hits, and you do need three hits on at least between your home and your office to start seeing, you know, some action, start seeing some results.
Well, and it's interesting that you say three, that you need at least three, because we are in 2019, and in numerology, we're in the year of the three. So it's interesting that the three plays a part as well in feng shui. Now, when we read through the book, my wife and I actually did this, and I'm going to, for the listening audience, where's the best place to get this book?
Amazon.com.
Okay. So as we're reading through it on page, let's see here, make sure I have my pages, 21. I'm a one in the year of the rat, and my wife is an eight. And so she wanted me to ask you, when it comes to the master bedroom, we don't have any mirrors, so we're good there, but we're opposites of direction. And how would you go about when you have two people that are completely opposites, one and an eight, and setting up your master bedroom?
Yeah, that's always the first question. After this sinks in, you know, like when I give lectures, this is my favorite thing to teach is, okay, let's get your life gua number. I'll see who you are. And then, of course, they're sneaking in, checking to see what their mate is. And so you are east life group because you're a one. And she's west life group because she's an eight like I am. I'm an eight.
I'm sorry. And she's a six. It's 1973. She's a six. Yeah, sorry.
So she's west group. And so what you have to do is, so think of directions, like let's just take south, for instance. Think of directions, and we know everybody knows it's 45 degrees in each direction. But in feng shui, we divide it up into like three little pieces of pie. So we call it, for lack of better language, south one, south two, and south three. Okay? So when you're dealing with couples who are different life groups, which happens, by the way, Mark, all the time, opposites attract, so it's all the time. Then you get into an increment. A 15 degree increment that you can use that works for both life groups. So I'll give you an example of that. South is fantastic for you. So for her, let's say that we want to place the bed on the south wall because it's the easiest in your room. That happens to be your relationship direction, and that's excellent, right? And we want her on south as well. So you'd get into the first 15 degrees or the third, not just that pure south, which is that second, which is in the middle, right? It's the purest of the pure. So she can, in fact, and I can too, anybody who's west life group can use what we call south one, that first 15 degrees, or we could go all the way to south three, and we tweak it. because this happens all the time. We have to get her good energy, and you, and that's the shared space, by the way, because I can give her a different door. She could come in a different door, and you could come in a different door, right? You could come in the front door. She can come in the interior garage door. You both get good luck
right.
if it's different facings, right? Or the same thing for her desk. We could face her desk, you know, west or southwest, and face you north or southeast or something like that. But that shared space is the one we have to use the fine-tuning, which I have on it's on one of the pages. It's not shortly. It's shortly after that. It's on page 25. And it tells you those increments where you just do that little tweaking. And that way you get good luck and she gets great luck.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, and it was a fun, as we went through the pages and just, you know, it's very easily laid out. It gives your birth year, the animals on the year of the rat, she's the year of the ox, and you just kind of circle it and then you apply it to the chart. So for our listening audience, getting the book, it's very user-friendly to where you can go through these eight mansions charts that Denise is talking about. And we had a lot of fun, but, you know, that's the one thing that we came up against is, okay, we have a shared space in the master bedroom, and we're opposites attract, which, like you said, is a good thing. But how should the furniture, how should the bed? And just curious, if you don't mind going into detail about the mirrors. You talked about the mirrors in the master bedroom, and I know Kim ran upstairs and changed her mirror around a little bit. But just for our listening audience, if you go into a little bit more depth about why the mirrors in the space or not in the space.
Right. Well, the rule of the mirror is that while you're laying in bed, if you can see yourself, like Kim was talking earlier, when she laid down the guest bedroom, she could see herself in the mirror. Well, that's the one that is going to affect you. If you can have mirrors in your bedroom. But when you're laying down in the bed, like, okay, for instance, the closet door thing, which is really popular in homes, right? You see them all over. The closet door.
Right.
From ceiling to floor. Almost anywhere you're in that room, you're going to be able to see yourself. So what they do, of course, earlier I described how that you don't line up, you know, as you're astral traveling. The second is they say that it brings in the third party. And it brings arguments. So couples would tend to argue and fight over nothing, small, stupid things, right? Or it might bring in the third party, which is, you know, that's the mirrors on the ceiling. Well, it might be sexy. Unless you're into having the third party in, you might want to think about removing them. So that's the kind of the mirror thing. You can have them. You just shouldn't have them where you can see yourself because you're going to probably get a negative effect. Those mirrored closet doors are really the worst, and I have, you know, solutions to cover those up for clients because they're pretty popular.
Yeah, in fact, in our old house, we had exactly what you're talking about, the sliding glass closet doors that were, you know, full mirror reflection of everything. So very interesting, and mirrors are, you know, I've always said have been portals into other, you know, ways of seeing and looking, and that's why they outlawed them in the medieval times. So interesting how it applies today from feng shui. Now, some of the core principles for our listening audience, Denise, if you want to just kind of give the five metaphysical arts that you talk about in your book, as far as, you know, and I find that it's very important about direction as well, because we're always trying to find our true north. Well, maybe not in this case. It looks like I'm heading south as far as my one is indicating in the book, if I read that correctly. But just for the listening audience, just some of the core, the five metaphysical arts of that, you know, encompass feng shui's core principles.
Yeah, well, they really are Chinese metaphysics, because Chinese metaphysics is a huge, huge body of knowledge, as in they have probably, I think, 5,000 or 10,000 volumes covering these subjects, which they've collected over thousands of years. And so they put them in major categories such as mountain, medicine, divination, and so forth. And physiognomy is the one that feng shui falls into. In any of these, by the way, Mark, would be a lifetime study. I mean, you would spend your entire life, for instance, on Chinese medicine. They're like millions of herbs, eyes, and so forth. And divination, oh, my God, because, you know, that is in itself is a whole subject. But feng shui falls into the way that something appears. So as you get into feng shui and you do it for so long, you can literally just drive in front of a house, the look and shape of it and where it's set in the environment, and you could tell almost the fortune of the people and what they might be enjoying and what they might be suffering in. They might suffer in money. They might enjoy good health or relationships. But that's the image of something. So we're at physiognomy. It also encompasses face reading, palm reading, and those kinds of things, and even grave sites. But that's just kind of where it falls into Chinese metaphysics And a lot of people don't even know that it's gotten so far away from its purity, they don't even know that it really is a huge body that is one of five major categories of energy, because metaphysics is just energy. It's just that energy that they were so good at observing and then figuring some things out, literally just making note of it. But and within that system now, there's just tons and tons of techniques. I mean, I could go on for days. I have classes. I have 36 modules in my classes, so it takes a little while to cover all of the stuff.
Oh, goodness.
But Mansions is one of my favorites, and it was one of my teacher's favorites, too. It's because, you know, we know it's direction, and you know, beds and doors. And he said, well, what are you going to do for the guy that's sleeping under the bridge? He doesn't have a door. He doesn't have a bed. So you get the guy, you get his LACWA number, you put him in his, you know, wealth direction, and maybe someone will come along and offer him, hey, come paint my house, and I'll pay you, right? So he loved the system,
right,
because if you didn't have a house, you know, you're homeless, you could change your fortune by just getting yourself and placing yourself in a good direction to change the energy, to change, your existence. So he loved this system, and you, as you said, you had fun, you went through it, and it has so many wonderful features, like the personality thing, which I'm sure you looked at, your life gua personality, and then you are a rat, so you matched up one with the rat, which is what I noticed when I wrote that section, because I knew, I've been consulting 23 years, and I thought, you know, not all ones are created equal. They're just not. And I noticed that in clients and students and, you know, family and whatever. So I said it must have something to do with the animal gear they're born in. So a one rat will be completely different than a one horse. They have completely different energy. And that's sort of the astrology of it. It has so many wonderful aspects. In addition to, like, moving your stuff, okay, and you're going to get a different result. Then you have this whole component that's what's my relationship with my spouse, my family, my kids, my coworkers, and whatever, and it's way fun. And so for people who are in business, they often consult and say, okay, I'm getting ready to hire somebody who's a one gua. His name is Mark. Okay, is that going to be good for me? And let's say he's a nine. Oh, he's fire, you're water. I say, well, you know, he's got kind of the controlling interest here, you know, because he's water, he can put you out. So those kinds of things, it's really fun to compare, you know, even go look at a past relationships and say, oh, my God, no wonder. You know, so-and-so was this, and fire melts metal. Oh, my God, that person did just melt me, right? And so you look at that. So the comparison of that is really way cool.
Very cool. Well, we're going to be heading to our second break here. Perfect timing. And, spot on with this book. Today's guest, Master Denise Lyota Dennis, talking about her book, Feng Shui, that rocks the house, shake up the energy, and get the life you want. We'll be back here in 2 minutes on Inspired Living Radio.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please, help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
And welcome back to Inspired Living. And joining us today is our master feng shui expert, Denise Leota Dennis, as we talk about feng shui that rocks the house. So I'm just looking at my write-up as a four gua and a pig, and the year of the pig. And I tell you, I'm just falling in love with myself more and more reading about. I'm just having fun over here. Wow, look at all these wonderful personality traits. All right. Anyways, this is a fun book for our listeners to really consider getting and you know, learning more about yourself and how to work with your own energy and the energy of your home. So, Denise, you had left a website, fengshuibookstore.com, that people can go to. It kind of gives more information on finding, as it relates to the Eight Mansions chart, correct?
Well, the picture, I took it that page down because that picture would not, you could hardly see it. So, unfortunately, I took that one down. But you can Google it, and there is actually a formula for it. But you can Google that, and almost a lot of the websites will have this chart or something similar to where you can get your life goal number. But one thing I wanted to mention to you, Kim, is that this is a huge big year for you, because anyone born in the year of the pig, this is super important. Now, next year, Mark, the year of the rat, it will be a big year for him. But for those people who are born in the year of the pig, like you, are going to have, you know, what's a big year? A big year is like filled with blessings and challenges. And anybody else who's born in the year of the rabbit and the goat, because that's a triad of energy that sort of hooks together. And so people who are rabbit people and goat people, in addition to pig people, will have a big year. Not as big as yours. Yours will be a bigger year. So what's the challenge? I mean, Dr. Phil says moving on the scale of 1 to 10 is 10. So a challenge could be, I mean, you have to say what. But in my observing people, they have more blessings in the year of the animal they're born in than challenges.
Thank you. That's nice to hear. I'm like, you know what? I'm for a whole big year of blessings, and let's minimize those challenges this year.
Exactly. You know, another thing I did too, Mark and I were talking about the Lifewa personalities, which to me is one of the most fun aspects of this. And another thing that I did in the book, too, is I put the life guas in categories. Like the one and the nine tend to be intellectuals, and Mark's a one, and you're a four, and they tend to, the threes and the fours, and these are by elements, and the threes and four tend to be the modernists. Like they have really modern and progressive sort of energy. And then Mark's wife is so interesting. She's a six, and the six and sevens, or she's a seven, they're the rebels. They have that. They don't recognize authority because they are the authority. It's very interesting. And then people who are twos and eights, they're like the reliable, you know, rock of Gibraltar, because they're earth energy. And you can find this with your people that, you know, you are the closest in your circle. You'll find some, this general information is really true.
Oh, that is fascinating. And it is interesting when you start reading up on, you know, the correlations of all this stuff. You go, wow, okay, I could see that. Now, the one thing that I noticed here is that these women, you know, I'm reading my four guas as a pig, are great accumulators of wealth, energy, or wisdom. Now, is there a way to combine all of those instead of either or? Can I have wealth with wisdom?
Yeah, you actually have that naturally. Now, here's what happens is, you know, you've got the people who are born in the year of the pig like you, with, you know, that are going to have the lion's share of the great energy. And what's so great about the year of the pig as opposed to the one we just left, the dog, is a little bit more worrisome kind of energy. The pig is a more jovial, and the pot belly of the pig is the accumulator. So they accumulate wisdom, accumulate money. It's a more prosperous kind of energy. And so people will see a difference in this year. And on a world scale, because it relates to water, the pig is water, we'll see, and metal and wood has these three elements in it. We're going to see a lot of construction, new construction, like where there's land to do it in America. And then we'll see possibly flooding because it's water. So that kind of seems to be a theme, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting that you say new construction, because just in my community alone, I can't tell you how much new construction is going on. It's interesting that you say that, like, you know, noticeably new. Every time you turn around, it's like a new development or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about that there are taboos in a house design as we talk about developments. What would those taboos be?
Well, you know, and I look at new homes often, because I want to see what architects are designing, what they're creating, and if they're listening to people, what they want. You know, are they listening to probably feng shui principles, and maybe people are saying things that they don't want this and that. And I go look at homes a lot to see what builders are building, and I see, like, crazy things like having a toilet, you know, as soon as you walk in. You walk in the front door, and there's a powder room or a bathroom as soon as you walk in. But one of the big taboos, and I try to, you know, educate architects, just if you could just not do this piece of it. And anything in the center of the house that is what we call mountain, water, or fire. So a mountain would be a staircase. So that's taboo. It's going to affect, these are all going to affect people's health, not their money. It's going to affect the body. So the mountain, and then fire could be the kitchen, or a stove directly in the center of the house. And if it's a fireplace, you got double whammy, because now you have the fireplace that maybe goes right in the middle of the house, and then you've got the mountain, which is like stone or brick, you know, and you have that. And then water would be a toilet, a laundry room, or even an atrium, like dead center of the house. This is dead center of the house, not the front center and the back center, right in the center.
What does the fireplace in the center of the house represent?
The reason they're taboo is they're going to affect the body in a different way. So the fire will affect the heart and blood pressure. So, and I can tell you, the first time my teacher said this, I'm like, to myself, under my breath, I'm going, yeah, right. And then I started consulting, right? And then I would say very tepidly, any problem, Mr. Jones, with your heart or high blood pressure? He goes, yes, how'd you know that? And it was like, oh, my God, this is true. This is really true. And he had sort of a red face as well. And they'd been in that house for like 3 years. And so he was and so I've noticed this, of course, in 23 years of consulting, that people who have the fire in the middle of the house, you know, dead center fireplace in the center of the house, they can have problems with their heart or high blood pressure. The water will be something completely different, the blood and the kidneys. And then the mountain, this high staircase, will affect the bones. Like, you'll get something like scoliosis or something like that. Now, none of this happens real fast. It's slow. It's like accumulative. It's accumulated energy, right? And so it's the things with the body.
And so the staircase has to be dead center in the middle of the house.
Dead center. And I had one like this, a client I was consulting with. She was a young, beautiful, we call it the celebrity shrink. And she was on radio and TV all the time. And she had this house with the staircase dead center. She was young. She was like 41. And she was starting to get scoliosis. And I asked her, I said, well, how long has that been happening? First of all, how long have you been in this house? She said, well, 10 years. And it was like this slow sort of thing where you shouldn't have scoliosis, I think, until you're like 60s or 70s, right, where you're sort of bending over a little bit. And she's like 41. And because there's nothing you can do about that. You have to make sure all the rest of the feng shui is really good and you take really good care of your health, because you can't people aren't going to move a staircase. I can't say, you know, I really would like that kitchen moved out of the center of the house or the staircase. We're not going to say something like that. We're not going to do that. We're going to deal with it and make sure it's balanced out with some really great, good things for them.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of a little unsettling how it's like it's over time. It's like it's a slow build-up kind of. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to get sick overnight or have problems with your blood or kidneys overnight. It's like it's accumulated. Sometimes my notice it takes 2 or 3 years before you start noticing anything with it happening. It's like you almost start resonating with that. It's almost like another thing that you don't want to see in your environment is being across the street or too close to a graveyard or something like that. It's very yin, dead energy. And you almost, as humans, we almost start getting simpatico with it. We start resonating with it, and we start getting depressed because it's not live energy. It's dead energy, literally. And not to mention, hauntings in next to a graveyard, spirits just, you know, they don't know where they are. But you'll start resonating to that energy. So that takes some time. But I noticed people got really depressed and didn't want to work, lethargic, because they're next to a graveyard.
Goodness gracious. What about where the home is placed? Like, whether a home, because in our neighborhood there's a lot of hills, so some homes are placed high up, like steep driveways up, and some have steep driveways down. Is there anything with that?
Well, that really should, the flow, you know, it's chi flowing away. And the ancient Chinese figured this out really quickly, that where chi can be retained, this is like the big secret, where chi can be retained, people thrive. Where chi runs off on the site, and that could be like a driveway, a big drop-off or whatever, then people will struggle. And they usually struggle in all three categories. But it just depends on other things around them of like what's going to sort of hit them first. Like my teacher said, what's going to hit you first is if it drops off in the back, for instance, it's always going to indicate money loss. You have no support. All the chi, if the chi's going down that mountain or that back, that slope, but it's going down to the neighbors, he's getting rich. All the chi's going down to him, he's in that canyon or whatever, he's accumulating the chi. You're not you, it's running off. So one of the first things you want to do when you have a dynamic site like that, because I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona for like 10 years, and it's very dynamic and very mountainous, and Houston's not where I'm from. And one of the first things you want to do is secure that site with, you know, some retaining walls and to hold the chi of people. That's the secret. That is the big one of the big simple secrets in feng shui. It's almost like you're being embraced. It's like somebody's got to wrap their arms around you.
That makes sense. Now, just real quickly before we end, because you know, there might be people listening that are really interested in feng shuiing their home after this conversation. do you
or before the radio show?
Do phone consultations, or do you have to be in
person?
Yeah, I do long. Can people send?
Yeah. If I do a long distance, I can. I have clients all over. I have clients. I have one in Australia that I'm going to be talking to today. I have clients all over. I just need certain things, like the floor plan and the compass direction, and their personal information, their birthdays, when they were born, and then maybe things that they want to achieve. And when I have all that information, I do it, and I have a conversation with them. I like to talk to them, hear their voice, and then I can tune into the energy of their space. And you and Mark do this. I mean, you do this quite naturally, and you know this is possible. You know, there's no really barriers. We're all sort of, you know, connected. So consciousness can connect with consciousness. And so once I'm connected through the voice, through them, and then they give me all the pertinent information, you know, the practical stuff, you know, I can consult anywhere in the world. So, and it's way cheaper than having fly you someplace, you know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's wonderful then, because, you know, that means people can, if they got a question or want to work with you, that's good to know. So what about, okay, just as we're coming up, we got just a couple minutes here left, but what are some helpful tips for the bedrooms? We certainly covered the mirror aspect, so get rid of those mirrors or get them out of sight.
Right. And the overhead things. Yeah, and overhead beams are another thing, too. If people have the overhead beams, those can be, you know, depending on whether they're horizontal or vertical, they can, if they're horizontal, they can harm the body because they're crossing over those meridians of the chest and whatever, and stomach and digestion. If they're vertical and they split right down the middle of the marital bed, that can cause couples to split. And I was telling this to somebody long years ago, and she said, "Oh, I don't really believe that." And you know, lo and behold, 3 years later, she divorced. She just was a friend of a friend. And she said, "Oh, I don't believe that stuff you're talking about, Denise." I said, "Oh, that's okay, fine. I don't try to convince anybody. That's fine." And she divorced after that. It was split right down, literally the center of the marital bed. So the marital bed in the bedroom should not be, general tips, try not to have too much stimuli, like fiery colors. Don't put everything red, pink, purples. Keep the bedroom neutral and soft. And also don't have any water features, like a water fountain, a tank, or something like that. Those are also disturbing to your energy field as you're going into these, you know, different states of awareness and consciousness. So you want to keep the room peaceful. Don't have your desk or exercise equipment in your master bedroom. The bedroom should be for sleep and sex. So don't have anything in there that's kind of not, you know, people have their all. I've seen every kind of thing in the bedroom, you know, like exercise equipment and desk things and puppy cages and, you know, everything. Make it a boudoir, a heavenly. If you're with a partner, make it a heavenly haven.
Well, that definitely makes sense. So, thank you so much.